It's like when we come here, we feel at home. We've been coming here for a while, so we're not strangers. And it's really good to see you, and we love you. Sean has given me the topic, There Is One Body. And when I was putting this together, I just decided I had to narrow it down. There were so many ways you can go with this subject. So we're going to keep it simple, and hopefully that if you're not here, and if you're here and you're not a Christian, you would adhere to the truth. And those who know the Bible, it's always good to put those things or these things in remembrance. There is one body. We're going to move around the scripture in the Bible in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. Wonderful scripture. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Notice there in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. Notice the ones. There is one body. And we know, according to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, the body is the church. And so when we say the body, we're talking about the church. There is one body, there is one church, the same thing. There is one body and one spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, notice the ones, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. So there is only one. He emphasized the word one. There is only one. One God, one baptism, one body, one faith, one spirit. Now, remember, as we know in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, we know what the Bible says, and he is the head of the body, the church. And so, again, the body and the church is the same. There is one body, there is one church. One body, one church. There is only one form of religion. Now, I notice in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15, he said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called, which you are called in one body. And so notice how he says that. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body. Why does he say that you are called in one body? But notice the word one again. We saw in Ephesians 4:4, there is one body. The apostle Paul says you are called. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body. But notice this, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, why were they called in one body? For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is a savior of his body. That's why he said that. He said you were called in one body because, again, he said, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is a savior of the body. And so the reason why they were called in one body is because that's what salvation is. That's it. It's that simple. They were called in one body because that is where salvation is. Now, anytime you put a lesson like this together, you can't avoid Acts chapter 2. That's what all began. And so, as we know, if we look at Acts chapter 2, we know in Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, Jesus said the kingdom will come with power. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 and 19, we know the kingdom and the church, they're the same. So you got the kingdom, the church, the body, they're all the same. There's one kingdom, there's one church, there's one body. They're all the same. And so in Acts chapter 2, we know what happened. Peter and the rest of the apostles were in Jerusalem at their Pentecost, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. We know the story. And all the people heard them speaking in tongues. Now, in as we look at the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, when they said in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then we know Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, that you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said in verse 40, and with many other words, he testified and exhort them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and in that day about 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking bread, and pray, and in praise. Then it says, and then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now notice this. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. Verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Notice this. After they were baptized, the Bible says the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Why did God add them to the church? Because that's what salvation is. That's what he said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of his body. Again, in Colossians 1:18, the body and the church is the same thing. You see here that when they were baptized for the remission of sins, the Bible says, and the Lord added them to the church. The Lord added to the church those who are being saved. Again, why? Because that's where salvation is. And that's why Paul emphasizes there is only one body. No, there was only one church. There was only one spirit. There was only one baptism. There was only one. There's not 1,500. There's not thousands, hundreds. There's only one way to serve God. I don't think God would judge us by his gospel. I know Jesus said in chapter 12, verse 48, he that rejects me and receives not my word has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. I don't think God would, and I know God would not judge us by something and then cause confusion. All these different religions or different ways of doing things, it's not God's fault, it's man's fault, because the Bible says there is only one. And it makes it very clear. There is only one body. There is only one way to do these things. Notice what Paul says. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, notice this. For by one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Why? Again, because that's where salvation is. Notice this. Notice how this works. Peter preaches the first gospel sermon. When Peter preaches that sermon, many believed and were baptized for the remission of sins. And many were added to the church. And then in Acts chapter 9, Paul comes on the scene. He's an apostle. Peter was an apostle. Paul and Peter taught the same thing. And then Paul goes around and he's teaching what Peter was teaching. And they were taking the gospel through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was God in them. And people were believing what they were teaching. They were teaching the same thing. In Acts chapter 16, Paul was in Philippi. He went to Philippi. He taught the gospel. He taught what Peter taught. They taught the same thing. And then after that, when Paul left, that's why now we have the book of what? Philippians. They were all included in that one body. In Acts chapter 17, Paul was in Thessalonica. He taught those in Thessalonica. He taught them the same thing that he taught those in Philippi. And when he finished there, he moved on and he wrote the letter. Now you have 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. In Acts chapter 17, that's Thessalonians. Acts chapter 18, he was in Corinth. He taught for a year and a half. He taught the Corinthians. He taught them the Bible, taught them the same thing. He taught Thessalonica in Philippi. He taught in Corinth. He taught the same thing. And then what? In Acts chapter 19, he was in Ephesus. He taught them what he taught in Corinth. He taught the same thing to all these people. And all these people were added to that one body. So you have Philippi, Thessalonica, you have Ephesians, which was the people of Ephesus. Then you have those in Corinth, which have 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And then Peter and Paul taught the same thing. You have 1st and 2nd Peter. James taught what they taught. In other words, they all taught the same thing. Notice here, Peter said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, he said, repent and be baptized, everyone who named Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, he says, why tarry thou? Why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins. They both taught the same thing. So nobody heard different things. If you go somewhere to another building or another denomination, you will find out that there's a separation because people are teaching different things. There are some congregations that say all you have to do is be sprinkled. But we know according to the Bible you have to be baptized for the remission of sins. And so if they were here, we were together, there was going to be a separation. Somebody's going to have to leave. And so what happens, people move on, they leave the body, and they move on, and they start their own church, their own way of doing things. Now, the Bible teaches plainly that women are not allowed to public to be preachers. God gives women the order. But if some people believe that a woman can preach the gospel, she can do just what a man can do according to religion. And so there's a problem there. And so what happens, they go and they start their own form of worship and they need a building. So now you have two different buildings, three different buildings, because you have what? Different beliefs. That's how it happens. That's why I plainly see why Jesus Christ said, why the Holy Spirit said through the apostles, there is only one body. They knew it was coming. Because man decided, man always want to do what they want to do. And when they do that, they close the Bible. It's like you do what we do, what we feel is right or what feels good, what makes the people happy. That's why we have different ways of doing things. That's why we have different buildings and different form of religions, because nobody wants to stick, or many people do not want to stick to what God presented to us, which is his gospel. And so now people say there's many ways, but it doesn't matter what happens. There's only one way. There's only one body. There's only one church. That's it. Now notice this. Sometimes we say, well, they didn't have denominationalism in the first century. They didn't have these issues, and you know they had to deal with Judaism. But notice this in First John. I want you to turn to First John. First John, chapter 5. Now notice what John says in First John. Chapter 5, in verse 18. Chapter 5, in verse 18. Notice what he says. He says, Chapter 4. What John talks about, the problem is Gnosticism. And there were many who were leaving the church because of this new religion called Gnosticism. And John makes the point that they left us because they were not of us. You see, and let's go to John chapter, that's 1 John chapter 2, that's verse 18. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. He says in verse 18, little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that is the last hour. Then he said, notice what he says here. He says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. And so John says, they went out from us. So at one time, these people were part of this one body. In other words, at one time, they believed what the Bible teaches. They believed what the apostles taught. But then the Gnostics came in, they heard this doctrine, and they decided to believe something else. You see, and when they decided to believe something else, notice what the Bible says. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But why did they leave? Because they believed something different. Notice what he says again. They went out from us. They're not of us anymore. The Bible says there is one body. And that's what I'm saying. When there is one body, in which we know there is one body, when people want to do things their way, they leave that one body. There is no way it's going to work together. If I'm here dealing with a Gnostic and he's saying that Jesus Christ, no way God's going to come in the flesh. It's not going to happen. We cannot worship together. I'm going to make a stand for the truth. We're going to stand for what the Bible teaches. Somebody has to go, and I'm not leaving. And so what happens, again, they went out from us, but they were not of us. You see this in the first century because somebody has taught some false doctrine. See, what makes that one body is what we all believe in. And that's why I said in Acts chapter 16, Paul went to Philippi. Acts 17, he went to Thessalonica. Acts 18, he went to Corinth. Acts 19, he went to Ephesus. Peter and Paul taught the same thing. James taught what Peter and Paul taught. John taught what. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit was guiding them. You mean to tell me the Holy Spirit would tell Peter something different, would tell Paul something different, would tell John something different, would tell... I don't think so. They all taught the same thing. And that's why when they moved around, when Paul traveled to other countries or and dealt with people in the church, they were doing the same thing. Turn to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 1. Notice this. Acts chapter 20 and verse 1. It said, after the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them. See, he called the disciples, those who are following the teachings of Christ. He called them to himself because they all believe the same. He said, embrace it, and departed to go to Macedonia. Now, when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece and stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return to Macedonia. Why did the Jews plot against him? Because they did not believe the gospel. They believed something different. And so that caused a separation. And when they plotted against him, Paul moved on. And it says in verse 4, and Sopater of Berea accompanied him to Asia. Why was Sopater with Paul? Because they believed the same thing. That made them one body. Not the building. They believed the same thing. And notice this. Also, Aristarchus and Secundus, the Thessalonians, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timothy. We know Timothy was Paul's son in the faith. Why was Timothy Paul's son in the faith? Because they believed the same thing. You understand that? That's why we have 1st and 2nd Timothy. If Paul and Timothy would have believed something different, they would have been separated. They were together. They were unified. What made them unified? Because they believed in the same thing. But notice this. He said, verse 5, these men going ahead waited for us at Troas. But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. And so after the Lord's Supper, they were in Philippi. Remember Acts chapter 16? But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. Why they stayed there 7 days? And so they took the Lord's Supper in Philippi, and then they moved on to Troas, and he said, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, but they stayed there 7 days. Why they stayed there 7 days? It tells you in verse 7. Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Why? Because, you see, in Philippi, they took the Lord's Supper, and then they went to Troas, and so they stayed. They went there, got there in 5 days, but they stayed there 7 days, so that's Sunday to Sunday, so they can take the Lord's Supper. You notice that? What they were doing in Philippi, they were doing on Troas, they were doing that, they were doing the same thing because they were taught by the apostles. They taught the same things. You look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, as often as you do this, well, how often? They already knew you do it on Sunday. You don't just pick a Sunday once a month. We'll do it once, every 2 months? No, it says, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. So when did the disciples do it? When did the apostles do it? They did it on Sunday. That's amazing. They traveled. They went to different places. Here they are. They go to Philippi. They take the Lord's Supper. And then they head to Troas. They made it there in 5 days. But why not stay there in 7 days? Why? Because it's Sunday to Sunday. Let's remember, let's take the Lord's Supper. And so they all did the same thing. I like what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now, we've heard this before, but This is strong. Notice what he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. He says, now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia. Paul said, I have given order. Now, again, now concerning the collection for the saints. Now concerning the collection for the saints. That one body. These people who are doing what I taught them to do. You remember in Acts chapter 2, the Bible says they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That made them the church because they what? Again, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And notice what he says. Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I have given orders, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. And on the first day of the week, why? Why on the first day of the week? Why? Because that's when they were all together. They all came together on Sunday. They took the Lord's Supper. They preached. They heard the gospel being preached. They sang praises to God. And so while you're there, let's what? Let's take up a collection. But I like what he says here. What I'm saying to you now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of, not just the churches, those who are in that one body that are in Galatia. All those people who are members of the one body that live in Galatia, I have given them the same order, and you must do it also. Why do you say that? And you must do it also. I like what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. He said, by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Notice what he said, by revelation he made known unto me. So that's why you must do, because the Holy Spirit has revealed it to Paul. Paul was a chosen apostle sent not by the church, sent by Jesus Christ himself. And that's why it says you must do these things. You must do this. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. I like that. You see, I have given this order, in other words, to everyone. He preached the same thing everywhere. Now, they had different situations. They had to deal with different cases. Different issues came up. When it came to, and he dealt with that, and those letters circulated so everybody could understand how to deal with these issues. But when it pertained to worship, it was only one way to do it. There was only one way to do it. I like what he talks about when he deals with the singing. I love that. He talks about, we all know what Ephesians says. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and heaven, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Notice he said that to the Ephesians, right? Now in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and heaven, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And so he tells them how to sing in Ephesus. Then he says the same thing to those in Colossae. And notice what he says to Corinthians in chapter 14 and verse 15. He says, I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. And so he tells them how to sing in Corinth. So he said the same thing in the book of Colossians, in Colossae. He said the same thing to the Ephesians who were in Ephesus. He said the same things those in Corinth, the Corinthians who were in Corinth. Notice what James says. Notice what he says. James says, is any merry? Let him sing songs. So James is saying what Paul is saying. That's interesting. And the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12, in the midst of the church, I will sing praise unto them. So the Hebrew writer says what everybody else is saying. Understand what I'm saying. This is what made them one body. It was a doctrine. And like those in 1 John who decided to leave the church because of Gnosticism, is because they believe something different. And John says, this is strong, when John says they were not of us, in other words, they're lost. If they don't repent and come out and come back where they should be, they are lost. He says they are not of us. They were not, because they left us because they were not of us. In other words, you better come back home because you are lost. And what made them leave? They thought they found something better. You know, I like the book of Galatians. When you see the issue in the book of Galatians, and Paul talks about how you have fallen from grace, and he's talking about the issue is in Acts chapter 15 concerning circumcision, how those Jews decided that you had to be circumcised also to be saved. Now, they were not denying baptism. They were not denying the things they were taught. It was those Pharisees, I believe, those Jews who believed. And they were teaching these things. And so they were twisting the mind of those in Galatia. And Paul tells them that you have fallen from grace. And so when you look at that, it's very strong. Let's go back. Understand this. When they said, when the issue came up, they were not denying, like in 1 John, they were not denying that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They just decided, you know, being baptized is right. The one body that they've heard, that's all true. But you also have to be circumcised to be saved. And so understand this. This is very interesting, is that they accepted what they were taught, but then they decided to add something else to it. You understand? They accepted what was taught. But they decided that a man, in order to be saved, a man also has to be circumcised. And you think, well, it's just a small issue to say that a man has to be circumcised to be saved. Look at chapter 6 and verse 17. Chapter 6 and verse 17. I like what Paul says here in verse 14. He said, "But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creature, new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace, mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God." And he says, "From now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." So the issue again was circumcision. And again, you had to be circumcised also. If you want to be saved, you also had to be circumcised. They want to add that on. I like what he says in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 7. He said, "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you." In other words, God did not call you by the gospel to believe this false doctrine. So who has hindered you? Now, we know in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7, they were baptized because it talks about that you put on Christ through baptism. So I understood it. We know they were Christians. There's no doubt about it. But notice what he says to these Christians who decided that they did not need. In other words, they decided that they can add on to Christianity. What does Paul say? Paul says, "You have fallen from grace." That is interesting. You have fallen from grace. You have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. That's interesting. You may say, well, it's just a little thing. Now, we're just a little thing. We have to be baptized for the remission of sins, but you also have to be circumcised to be saved. Paul says, "You have fallen, you who have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by the blood, you have fallen from Christ." Or rather, you have fallen from grace. Do you hear that? Or is it just me? You're losing your soul. You're lost. They were in the one body where salvation is. They decided to believe something different. And he said, "You have fallen from grace." That's a warning. You better stop it and believe what we taught you and get back into the one body. See, there's only one way to be saved. There is only one body. I like what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. He says, do not think beyond what is written. There's really not too much to say, and there's really nothing else to say. That if you're not a Christian here, you've heard what the gospel is teaching. They heard about this church, this body, this kingdom. They wanted in. Those who wanted in, they repented, confessed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and were baptized for the remission of sins, and God added them to the body, to the church. And then they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. It's that simple. And everybody who did this in this Bible we're reading about are now dead and gone. And those who are faithful to God, who stayed in that one body, are now in paradise, waiting to be transferred into heaven for eternity. If you're here and you need to repent, don't hesitate. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You need to make it right. Please come as we stand and sing this song of invitation.